Sorry? No, I think I'm... Yes, but...
We can share it.
We can share it. Good. Yes, why not go straight to the audience? Would you like to take the first question?
Microphone.
Who are you?
I'm really interested in the process of translation or mistranslation. I kind of picked it up at the point where you mentioned Clarice Lispector. Because I know that when, for a long time when she was translated into English, they would clean up her grammar because she writes across different tenses in the same piece. So she was always translated. It's only recently we've been able to have translations where they keep that slippage.
And I wish I could do it in Portuguese, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I was very struck by the piece of work that you did where you moved, where you thought about the movement from Lewis's The Monk through to Artaud and Bulwer. Could you just talk a bit more about that, the idea of translation or mistranslation in that, or the transposing, I guess, in a musical sense? And what's the title of the piece, by the way?
The piece is called Fountain.
Fountain.
Which is also a nod to Duchamp's ready-made, the urinal. Which, talking about ready-made, it was a film that didn't exist, that existed. And then Fountain because of also the voice, or the being expressing, the person expressing. And you, about your question of translation, there's an anecdote I always like regarding the director Jean-Luc Godard and his colleagues from the French New Wave, who before becoming film directors, successful film directors, were first writers, they were critics, reviewing films for the journal Le Cahier du Cinéma. And for them, reviewing the films, often films you know, they didn't like, or they disagreed with, or they loved, or found awful. Reviewing those films was a way for them to remake them, to make the films. So there was this kind of... appropriation seems like maybe it has a slight negative tone, that there is also a construction going on with the person stepping in and, I guess, impersonating, but in the end of the day, it's also their voice added to the whole conversation. I was thinking about something else and I lost it. Yeah, is that, does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, so it's back now. Thinking about me cutting the 100 copies of this fish tale, which you could present the translation with then me sort of applying these other titles and perspectives around the same object. But there was almost this this learning by heart. This, suddenly, that day, my hand, I guess, had kind of learned that tale. It had kind of acquired, it kind of knew its shape. It could almost pick it. And it's also about this translation and speaking through again, and also like the phrase to learn by heart. It's quite nice. Like the heart is a physical organ, and we know where it is. But to learn by heart, where is this? Where is this heart? So it also opened these other spaces or versions with a translation.
So does that move into that final piece that you showed very briefly where the lights go down, mm-hmm. and so in one sense you're very conscious of it being a web text,
mm-hmm.
but of course when it's black, it's...
The trick.
It's that. Yes.
That the performer learned the end by heart.
Yes.
And that it is located in the heart. That the room is gone, and the story is... more and more present. The more we go into the story, the more it's sort of expanded or flooded.
And so the audience is slowly aware of that transition.
Exactly.
Where they believe that they're part of a written text.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's true, particularly in that piece, A Reading, this idea of learning by heart, of this simple phrase, I find very interesting.
Mm.
Also, another project I didn't get to talk about, which uses the word soul in its title, the soul, S-O-U-L, sorry for the pronunciation, is also something else. What is the soul? How big is it? What does it mean?
Big as a big flat fish.
Exactly, exactly. Very flat.
Yes.
I'm very interested in your different identities, your heteronyms, and the way that putting a name on something changes the context in which it's viewed. How do they work? Does a name come first, or do you have the...
There are all cases. There's even one anecdote I quite like, is from my degree at art school, I asked a friend simply to give me, asked a Japanese friend to give me the name of the little boy she was in love with, like in kindergarten, as a child. And it became a name that was kind of unused yet. And it's only some years later that, with the right context, it became meaningful to suddenly open up this name. But there are all scenarios, and although looking, kind of trying to step back and think about them more globally, it comes from the work. It's
so the work comes first, and then do the names have a particular character, or are you trying to remove the character from the work?
But what do you mean by character?
I mean, do the identities have a particular... Do you use the same name more than once? And do the works have something in common that relates to the name?
Exactly, you're right. So there is a kind of chain, a kind of continuity within the works behind one name. So some names haven't done much, maybe just one thing, and others have done a lot. But if I'm honest, I should also say that I don't say I'm not doing it anymore, I'm doing it less, because I don't think it's true, and as you can see, the matter is very much present in my work, even if it's kind of backstage or as a backbone behind projects. But maybe now, my name, Olivier Castel, is the one I go to, for practical reasons, as well. As you can imagine, that it doesn't necessarily help to kind of scatter yourself so much. Despite maybe doing, you know, a lot of projects. But they're still very present. It's such a rich material. And again, there's no limit to it or to them. It doesn't cost anything, it doesn't. So it's they're great playgrounds.
It seems to throw up so many questions, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So.
I was just wondering, you mentioned a lot of the phrase came to mind, steal like an artist. And what is it how do you single down somebody who sees something or name or a piece of artwork? Like, what is it? How do you get to that and think, oh, this is what I want to
I mean, you're right, there is a question of, you know, taste and interest, and also at the end of the day, it's also what surrounds you, it's what is your world, and this world changes. Or we were speaking earlier, before the talk, how, so now we know the Brexit happened, with the UK, with the referendum. And if I were to start studying now, fine art, very sadly, I wouldn't have come to the UK. And I guess this would have changed my world quite a lot. But maybe to go back closer to your question, I mean, there is work and research and thinking and gathering and elimination and all of this, yeah. And I guess, I mean, literally consuming art, but also, you know, as you so often, the material sources are not necessarily directly financial related, but we come from other fields. So, I mean, you know, in the end of the day, it's very much to do with, you know, joy and play and what speaks to you, what makes sense. But then maybe if you think about it more critically, and back to the anecdote with the new wave directors, film directors being first reviewers, being critics, it's also, you know, maybe you go and see a show, and similarly, it's, if there are things you don't like, it's, what is it you don't like? Why do you not like it? Why do you think it does not work? What is it lacking? What does it have too much of? And but also the beautiful thing with art is that it's, I think it is the most open field in the sense that it can venture into any other field. It can, so it's got this thank you. Omnivore, I can never say it in English. Omnivorous. But also maybe dilettante or kind of like, it's got something quite light to it as well, that you can go to things almost as a hobby or as a, you know, I just take a bit from this and a bit from that. So in the end of the day, yeah, there should be some kind of pleasure, but I'm not saying it's always easy. I mean, you know, I would honestly say that sometimes I really, you know, struggle to pin things down and it takes time and... So it's work, but, you know, play is work and work is play. And just to finish my answer is conversation, I think, is very, very important, and is to exchange with your peers. And that's just a kind of endless field of, you know, learning.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's just making think of when you're saying about appropriation and playfulness and the fact that art can expand into perhaps more fields than others, about Rancière defending amateurism as a position. And I just wondered what you thought about that, about the idea of not having to be an expert and not having to be kind of anti-expert as a valid theoretical position.
Mm-hmm. And that's it, exactly. I mean, yeah, the amateur is a perfect word to sum it up. That there is this great openness to the field, to the interests you can, you know, spend time with. But reversely, also becoming an expert in something, you know, very odd or particular, or and from any kind of, you know, culture level. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, like pop culture, high culture, whatever that means. So there is this, yeah, a great openness that however much or little time you decide to spend with something. Yeah.
It's going. I'll ask a quick question while it's coming round to you.
Oh, hold on. One question from Julie, and the mic comes to you.
So, go ahead.
When you exhibit underneath the bed, does anybody know too? Is it a secret?
I mean, it's not a secret, so I don't hide it. So, for the press release, it will say at the end something like, and Louise Weiss is a name, one of the names used by Olivier Castel. But you're right, it's a tricky territory how to handle this. And as much as it's been amazingly freeing and informative and playful, to do so, it's also, I'd like to continue, you know, making art for a long time. I'd like to, you know, live of it and spend time with it. And thinking about these kind of practical concerns, spreading myself so much, I mean literally erasing myself in very boring, I don't say market, I mean in terms of the work being known and shared, it doesn't help, although I can also see that many projects I've done came from invitations that resulted from this particular way of working and interest. So all options are possible. So did I answer the question? Yeah. Yes,
because the theme is about what is an artist, and then just taking in your work, and it's got a lot of texture to it, but in an immaterial way, this is what I'm picking up. And then it's just making you wonder, is it relevant for you to think of sort of notions of the poet or poesis? Sort of some philosophers talk about artists in a sort of broad thinkly sense, and then link it back to language and the poet. And I just wondered if that's resonant for you, or if you ever think of yourself, I don't mean a poet as in you write poems, but when the way you spoke about the heteronyms, well, I almost wouldn't use the word heteronym, it's almost like they become word magic, or they become something like that, that links to opening up something. So I don't know, is it relevant to think of
it? Yeah, no, definitely. I think, yeah, this relates to my interest in the idea of things gaining a kind of autonomy. I mean, if we go back to the just slide before, the Valérie quote, what would we be without the help of things which do not exist? It's like going back literally to poetry and so words. So the words being also this very rich ground and material, and also this particular meaning changing through time, you know, through groups and it's just somehow the word beautiful sounds so flat, but it's just so beautiful that these things do have an impact on our world, on our reality, on our minds, as you know, your friend, your neighbor has to.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I agree with you totally, but it's interesting how it might take a kind of art practice in all its openness to allow us to realise that, because otherwise we're so busy using and in a very directed way. So it's just quite interesting that it needs a sort of way of working verbally, but not specifically with words, if you know what I mean, to do that. Sorry if I'm sounding obtuse, but
So there is a need, yeah, for ground in order to shift that perception and to open up. Yeah. So there is a need for tools, and I guess that's what art is, in a sense. That, I mean, there is this question, kind of, what is art for, what is it? But actually, yeah, your question is stating it, there is this need almost to create another, something other, in order to be able to perceive and make sense.
But not another elsewhere, sort of somehow already here, but anyway.
With kind of, you need to go out in order to go in.
Because that inside outside is there in all your work, but not in what I'd call an objective sense of inside outside. So it's very, yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks for this.
We're about at the end of the questions. I just would like to, from that point, move to some of the materiality of some of the work. And I just wanted to ask, there's a great big steel aluminium tube running through that. When there's the beautiful sound works and the light works, and all of the textual elements, and then suddenly there's some real physical presence and an understanding or more of attention to a particular context, maybe physical context for the work. You even showed us the diagram of how you plan that exhibition. So if you'd like to say just a little bit more of when that real physical element comes in.
Well, it reminds me about the question you asked me earlier with the glass lamp and the sound piece. And I guess it's a question of challenge and of potential. And through this, a kind of multiplying, kind of something that opens up. But then I would also take it more prosaically to actual objects and actual materials, and simply looking at what they're made of, how do they function, what are they meant to trigger or operate. So these things are really kind of already rich with language. So it's a kind of attention to, I don't mean details, no, more to, I mean, broadly speaking, to frames and contexts, and how to kind of bend them into the project, or make them speak for the project. Like there's a beautiful quote by Duchamp, a little known piece, which were chocolates given to visitors, and the rappers had a sentence, "A good host is a ghost." So there is this back and forth between what to have in order to, without overpowering, but yet to maybe take it further again. So it's a constant back and forth, it's a constant kind of, it's a feedback loop. Also back to your question about kind of influence or materials or ideas or... And yeah, sometimes things, you know, will sit in your head on the table for like a few years, and then suddenly you realize, my God, this is just what I need.
It's the time. Perfect.
Can we have just one more, really short?
Go on then.
Really short.
Please.
We'd hate to rob you of that one.
What is the typeface you use? Is it Koshan on the...
Baskerville Semigold.
Baskerville Semigold.
You're right, I always use it for my slides. It's been a few years, yeah. Thanks.
We're going to go over to the tap, and everybody's very welcome to come and spend a little time talking a bit more to Olivier. But thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm going to tell you this. Send me more details. Thanks for that.